Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
The Senate will come to order.
Are you ready?
Yeah!
I want to know, is everybody ready?
Yeah!
All right, here we go. Everybody, get on up and do your stuff. Did you hear what I say? I said, everybody, get on up and do your stuff. You better get up.
Everybody, welcome to Congress College. I hope you had a great week. Weather notwithstanding, I guess it sort of passed everywhere it was supposed to pass. I hope those that were in the eye of Hurricane Matthew are recovering okay. And again, welcome to Congress College. My name is Elizabeth Christ. We are going to talk. Guess what? We're going to talk about Congress. We're going to talk about politics. We do it twice weekly here on Congress College. On the Monday show, this is when Congress is in session. This is when we outline the week and we talk about literally what bills will be coming up in the Senate of the United States and in the House of Representatives. And then on the Friday show, 6:30 p.m. Eastern, which of course is the show you're listening to right now, when Congress is in session, we recap the week and we talk about what actually got done. What did the Senate end up doing? How about the House of Representatives? Did they end up debating and passing what they said they were going to do? How did all that turn out? And, you know, I do the show twice weekly so that folks can answer this really, really simple question. Were you represented well in Washington, D.C. for the week? Because think about it. Those guys and gals in the Senate, those guys and gals in the House, they represent you. They represent me. So don't you think we should at least have a general idea as to what they're up to? Well, that's my thought. And I also do the show so folks can familiarize themselves with the free website, gradegov.com. And of course, gradegov.com lets you grade a member of Congress. How about you're a member of Congress? What would you give him or her? An A? Maybe you give them a C or a D. And of course, when I'm talking about the grades, I'm talking about the A, B, C, D, or F, just like the grades you got in school. You figure out who you want to grade, then you figure out what grade you want to give them, and then the site will auto-prompt you to write a letter explaining why you gave the grade. I always tell folks, check your spelling. I'm a terrible speller. But then once you click send, you've just written a member of Congress and you've given them a grade. And their grade averages 2 or 3 times a day, so you can go over on there and figure out what kind of grade they are getting. But almost as important, members of Congress pop up over there all the time to see what their grade is because they're all worried about what you and I are thinking of them. So tell your friends, tell your family about gradegov.com. I would greatly appreciate it. And I think that pretty much does it for the housekeeping. Let's start out with Donald Trump, the Donald. What do you think? Donald Trump, the brand versus Donald Trump, the man. Which is going to survive? Who will survive? Take a listen to Mark Cuban here for just a second. He's the owner of the Dallas Mavericks. See what you think of this. Here we go.
He's certainly not Teflon. I mean, his numbers keep on going down. I think there's plenty more stories to come out. I know I've heard a few. I don't know if they'll ever become public. But I think this is just the beginning of the end or the middle of the end for Donald Trump, and not just in his run for the presidency. But his brand, his properties, his businesses, he's been scorched. And he's, I think the whole thing has a real chance of going down with him.
Well, that was where I was going to take it. But, you know, the Trump, the brand, we just had Robert Frank reporting that apparently hotel bookings at some of his named properties are off. There's some conflicting information. And, of course, Mr. Trump will probably come out with his own numbers telling a different story, I would expect, because that his nature is to punch back when punched. But do you think his brand is toast?
Done. Over. I mean, can you see it now? Honey, we're going to Vegas. Where do you want to stay? And the answer is anywhere but Trump. You know, where do you want to go in D.C.? Anywhere but Trump. You know, there's just a stigma attached to his brand now. And it's, yeah, it's crazy because he went from being a top five brand, you know, recognized by almost everybody, to probably being a bottom five brand, recognized by everybody for the wrong reason.
Hey, CNBC fans, thanks for checking out our YouTube channel. Here you're going to find videos packed with all of the information that you need to be smarter about your finances. You can subscribe by clicking right here.
Okay, so there we go. He says that the brand is done. He says it's over with. Completely done. I'm not sure I agree with Mark Cuban completely as far as the brand being done. It's a pretty widely recognized brand. It's worth millions of dollars, just the name recognition alone. Is this going to be a problem for his brand? I don't know. We'll see. He has, you know, Donald Trump does have that tendency to get mad and to get even. Boy, I wish he'd start thinking about getting ahead. It's frustrating, but is it what the American people are wanting right now? Do they like him punching back? Do they think, well, if he's punching back on this, he's going to punch back for America, is going to punch back for me? Maybe. Maybe that's how it's going to play out. But I can tell you, the Senate candidates especially, they're having to punch back a little bit because there's 24 Senate Republicans up for re-election. I know Congress College listeners know that. Just inherently, we know it because we talk about it all the time. Many of those 24 Senate Republicans trying to come back next year, trying to win their seat to come back next year, are having to say on the stump, in town hall meetings, in debates, are you supporting Donald Trump? And they're having to do the Fred Astaire a little bit, quite frankly, folks. They're having to dance a little bit, and they don't like it. Are you going to support Donald Trump? That, I will say right now, his brand right now is hurting him. But then let's flip over to WikiLeaks. How about State Department emails? Judicial Watch. All of these are on the leaked emails about Hillary Clinton's personal server, and you barely are hearing anything. Judicial Watch finally subpoenaed her about the private email server. They were able to ask her 25 questions. 21 of the 25, she said, I don't know. I don't recall. Questions like, why did you set up the private server? I don't recall. Were you being advised that it was okay? I don't recall. I'm not going to keep going, but 21 out of 25 times she didn't recall. We know what she's doing. She's a lawyer. She's lawyering up. How does that work for trustworthiness? But first of all, are you even going to hear about that? Because of the now five or six or seven women that are now saying that they were groped by Donald Trump at some point. That's the news. That's the news all over the place, in part because of the video, I guess, that we heard 1 week ago where we heard Donald Trump talking boy talk, but bragging about grabbing women and kissing women. So when you have these five or six or seven women now coming out saying he did it to me, it becomes believable because he bragged about doing it in 2005. But let's go back. Absent the groping, absent these women, these emails are a real, real problem. You can't rely on Hillary. You can't rely on her for being honest. You can't rely on her being a straight shooter. Shouldn't play by the same rules. That's the point that Donald Trump is trying to make during these last 4 weeks. She doesn't play by the same rules. She doesn't have to play by the same rules. The media is allowing her not to play by the same rules. It's sort of like professional wrestling. It's fake. We know it's fake. We kind of know that Hillary's a big fake. She's a lie. But she's not being asked to play by the same rules. And you know, the basket of deplorables, I'm going to play this again. It's only 30 seconds. I want to see what you think, if it's got any legs anymore.
Speaking to wealthy donors, Hillary Clinton called tens of millions of Americans deplorable.
You could put half of Trump supporters into what I call the basket of deplorables. The racist, sexist, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic, you name it.
People like you, you, and you, deplorable. You know what's deplorable? Hillary Clinton viciously demonizing hardworking people like you.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
Okay, so we're back to, is that going to hurt her? Or is Donald Trump's brand going to get so tarnished by these women that we won't care anything about Donald Trump, the man, for now? He's too bruised. Is he going to end up being too bruised? Well, I guess we're going to know. Obviously, we're going to know in 4 weeks. And a lot of people right now are comparing this election to 1980, the landslide of Ronald Reagan. 1980, when the economy was bad. I think it was worse than it is now in a lot of ways. Let's think about it for just a minute. When you wanted to buy a car or a house in 1980, you were paying double digit interest rates, 12, 14, 16% interest. I had a brother who bought a house, young family, newly married, just bought a house, paid, I want to say 16% interest on his loan. We would be screaming bloody murder now. We, the American people, would be screaming bloody murder if we were paying 12, 14, 16% interest on our car note, on our home note. We're able to find 3, 4, and 5%. So that's not reminding us every single day that the economy is bad. How about in 1980, 1979, the tail end of the Carter administration, his energy policy was so bad. We had gas rations. How many remember that? You could only get gasoline. You could only fuel up your vehicle on the day in which your license plate was either odd or even, depending on the number. If you had an odd license plate, you could only get gas on odd days, even days, etc. You knew every day when you had to calculate your gas, pay attention to it, because you couldn't just pull up to a gas tank. You couldn't just pull up to a filling station when you wanted to. That was bad. Those were bad. Is it bad now that we're working two jobs when we used to only work one and we're barely bringing home the same amount? Likely not bringing home the same amount. Are we used to that, though? That's the issue. Are we used to that? Another thing. President Obama is popular than Carter. The job approval rating for President Obama is higher. And it just translates to people are happy. Not super happy, but they're happier than they were under Jimmy Carter. We had the melee Jimmy Carter, the doldrums. Everything seemed to be bad. But let's say this. Before the one and only debate, which I believe was something like the 16th or 18th of October in 1980, Ronald Reagan trailed Jimmy Carter as much as 8 to 9 percentage points. Some people say that Donald Trump is going to end up getting to 8-9% before that final debate next week. He's falling like a rock. But, you know, it's harder to figure that out now because we are much more polarized. We don't have as many undecided voters. But let's put it this way. It only took a small shift of Democrats to shift over to Reagan in the closing weeks to be enough. It only took a small amount, and then the landslide started. So the last debate is coming up. You got, after that, you'll have about 2 weeks before the election. American could not get behind the idea of a 21-year-old actor being president. At least that's what the polls thought. Back in 80, I'm back in 80 now. They couldn't wrap their heads around a former actor being presidential material. Isn't that kind of where we are now? Donald Trump, former TV, reality TV guy. They thought that Reagan was a little on the crazy side. Well, I think they're thinking that about Donald Trump. He was on the fringe of the Republican Party. Well, you got Donald Trump on the fringe. And of course, there you go again, was the memorable moment taken from the debate. I'm sorry, it was October 28th, 1 week before the elections. Jimmy Carter was describing another policy that he would put in place if he were reelected, another big boondoggle, if you look at it from the Republican point of view. And that's when Governor Reagan at the time said, there you go again. And that's what did it. He won 44 states and President Carter won 6. So I can tell you the Trump campaign is looking at this. They're saying this is like the Reagan revolution. That's why he keeps talking at his various rallies that he's having, 2 or 3 a day. This is a movement. This is a movement. We'll see. We'll see if it's a movement. 28%. This is a Gallup poll taken not long ago. 28% of Americans are satisfied with the way things are going in the United States. Now, that is low. Typically, that percent usually hovers around 37%. And I'm saying that because that's what Gallup has said since they began measuring our satisfaction in 1979. They said the average is 37%, and right now it's at 28%. Is that enough of a Jimmy Carter malaise? I don't know. Obviously, I don't know. I guess we're going to see. I guess we'll see when it comes to the debate next week. Can Donald Trump bring home one of those signature statements? There you go again. Can he do that? I don't know. I guess we're obviously going to see. And can they make the point that liberal progressivism is where we're going? I know that Speaker Ryan did that. He was speaking at the University of Wisconsin-Madison at college Republicans, and he tried his darndest to basically reassure them that the Republican conservative agenda, that they're going to redo Obamacare, that they're going to take away the liberal progressive government that is now. They're going to end government for the elites that exists now. Take a listen to this. We won't listen to all of it necessarily. This is 3 or 4 minutes. Again, this is Speaker Ryan in Madison, Wisconsin at their college Republicans.
On what this election is ultimately all about. Beneath all the ugliness lies a long-running debate between two governing philosophies. One that is in keeping with our nation's founding principles, like freedom and equality. And another that seeks to replace them. And so at this time, I would like to invite you to reflect on this choice that we are facing here. Right now, as fractured and as polarized as this country is, a vast majority of Americans, 7 out of 10, they agree on something fundamental. They agree that our country is on the wrong path. We have a chance to start solving our country's problems. We have the chance to save this country from decline and set it on the right path. A path lit with hope, liberty, and self-determination. Those core principles that set America apart. You know, in elections, we don't just decide who our leaders will be. We get to choose what kind of country we will have for years to come. And the kind of America we want is confident and determined. Our allies trust and our enemies fear the America we want. The America we want is a land of opportunity driven by the individual spirit. You don't just live your life, you lead your life. You don't just get by, you get ahead and make the most of your potential. The America we want is a place where work is rewarded, where success is earned, where ingenuity is exalted. In the America we want, government exists to serve the people. And instead of lecturing us, our leaders listen to us. They offer positive solutions to tackle our problems. And sometimes
well,
we put all of those ideas.
You get the gist of this. You get the gist of this. This is obviously, he's trying to convince folks that Republicans are running on a conservative agenda, that we have alternatives to Obamacare. But the important thing, one of the things I wanted you to hear about that, 7 out of 10 Americans say we're going in the wrong direction. Is that enough to take Donald Trump over the top? Is that like the Jimmy Carter melees of 1980? Gallup, again, I'll go back to Gallup, says, and this is very recent, the most recent, 28%, only 28% are satisfied with the way things are going. And it's usually averages 37%. So is that enough? And here's another thing about is that enough? 32 states are losing their health insurance policies because of Obamacare. 1.4 million Americans are losing their health insurance. They're getting their letters today, tomorrow, over the weekend. They've been getting them. They started getting them at the 1st of October. And the 1st of November is when they can click on the Obamacare website and see if they can buy some Obamacare insurance. Well, we know how that's going. The website's got bugs all over the place. So does that make you even less satisfied after you get your letter? And maybe you have a child that has diabetes, or maybe your husband or your wife has high blood pressure. You need your health insurance. You don't have an option. You signed up for health insurance because you needed it. You're not one of these young folks that don't need it and you're not going to sign up. And therefore, you're going to hope that the federal government doesn't find you and fine you. They're not going to chase you down and find you and then give you a fine. You're hoping they don't. In the meantime, you just don't get insurance. When you're sick, you go to the emergency room. 0.4 million new Americans in this month, in the month of October, are going to lose their health care in 32 states. Is that enough? Is that enough to elect Donald Trump the man and just sort of let this brand that is now resonating all over our news cycles, let that just sort of die? I don't know. Will the debates next week put him over the top? Obviously, I don't know. All right, let's flip here to the president. And I know that Bob from Connecticut always knows we do the president's daily schedule. But beforehand, guess what the president did today? Using his pen, he did a new Cuba embargo, lifted a new Cuba embargo on trade with Cuba. You can now get Cuban cigarettes, rum, literally wanting to trade with the communist economy of Cuba. Senator Marco Rubio, the Republican from Florida running for re-election, blasted the Obama administration, saying, "You're basically bankrolling a communist economy." How do you like that? I don't think the president cares. He did it by regulation, though, folks. So the fact that he did this by regulation, President Donald Trump on day one could undo it. As quickly as it was done, he could undo it. Will we be so in love with our Cuban cigars at that point and our Cuban rum that we won't want him to? Who knows? Who knows? All right, pay everybody, get your paper, get your pencil. We're about to do the president's daily schedule for today at 11:15. He delivered remarks at Hillary for American campaign event. That was in Cleveland. And then he went to Cleveland International Airport for a pre-credentialed media. He then went back to Andrews Air Force, or flew back to Andrews Air Force Base, and at 2:20, he arrived back at the White House. At 3:30, he convened a National Security Council for a review of ISIL. And then at 3:35, the vice president attends the president's National Security Council. So basically, he made a speech for Hillary and convened this National Security Council. Those are the two things that your president did today for you, to represent you, to be your president. You know, I do this at every airing of Congress College, so you kind of get where we're coming from when we say this president is doing nothing on a daily basis. I urge you to Google your favorite past president. Maybe it is Jimmy Carter. Maybe it's Bill Clinton. Maybe it's Ronald Reagan. And pick today's date in the tail end of their administration. Make sure it's not a Saturday or a Sunday, but pick the second week in October. And I guarantee you, almost every president that I've just named, every past president, his day is going to start out 7:30, 8 o'clock. Breakfast in the family quarters. Maybe with Bill Clinton, he was jogging by then. 8:30, Oval Office, getting a briefing of the president's daily briefing. By 9:00, meeting with members of Congress. 9:30, meeting with some cabinet. 10:00, meeting with some chairman of committees. 10:30 or 11:00, senior advisors. On and on and on. That schedule will go until 6 or 7 o'clock at night. You know what, folks? This president barely has three things on his schedule. Most of the time, president's daily briefing. Most of the time, lunch is on the schedule. And that's, a lot of times, that is it. A lot of times, that is it, folks. Speaking of, that is it. That is it for the day. That is it for Friday's Congress College. I hope you enjoyed the show. Hope you have great plans for this weekend. Have a wonderful, wonderful, blessed weekend. I picked a Billy Joel song, Honesty. Just enjoy it. Because I don't know how much honesty we're going to get out of anything between now and the election. So enjoy Billy Joel's Honesty. Have a great, great, great weekend. And I will talk to you on Monday. So stay tuned. It isn't hard to find. You can have the love you need to live. If you look for truthfulness, you might just as well be blind.